Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Julie. Another week, another Dalla. Is that how it goes?
I don't know, something like that.
Is it really another week already?
If we listen to Greg Braden, another week, another moment for healing.
That's right. Because
the moment we're born, where our body is healing, not dying. I'm like, really? Because I don't know. I think I told you this morning that I haven't had a good night's sleep in a very long time.
Right. I agree. I don't know how to
help me with that.
Yeah. I was just thinking when you were saying that your brother doesn't get good sleep, even though he's like, he doesn't have the problems that we have.
Yeah.
But what he has is he has two cats, and I don't know what they're called, but they have like regular hands.
Okay.
Or mitten hands.
they have the extra finger, right?
Toenail. I don't know. They just look like hands.
Yeah, they have the extra. Yeah, they're like real cats.
We don't know.
Yeah, they're called, but they're odd.
But he has two of those.
Yes,
and he has. They both are addicted. He has. They're like crack cats.
They're
not addicted to crack, but they are addicted to a certain treats that Greg gets them. And you know, he's tried to wean them off, but it goes bad in a hurry.
Oh, okay.
You know? So every 4 hours, they require another treat to keep them even. Otherwise, it goes bad. It goes south, you know. So Greg says that, like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, he's, you know, sleeping soundly into the REM sleep. And he gets his paw, like the real hand, on his back, like, hey, dude, it's
dude,
time.
Dude,
I need my fix. And I need it now.
God. There has got to be some technology out there that at 2 in the morning,
they can go get their own fix.
They can get their own fix.
Yeah.
Or, like, right by the door, this thing. I mean, you couldn't have it on demand because the cats would be just like,
oh, yeah,
pushing the button. Like,
yeah.
Where's my treat? Where's my treat?
Yeah.
Where's my treat? But, like a
timer.
Like a timer. Like when you preset your coffee pot to start making coffee.
Right.
There's got to be a way to preset the fix for your cats.
Yeah.
Holy cow. You know, Greg was thinking about hiring a lawyer and suing the company who makes these treats. Was there a disclosure on there? Like, hey, because, I mean, here's the deal.
I was thinking that you were sue the company that made these cats.
Yeah, well, there you go, because they are genetically modified for sure. Those are MGO cats. Well, no, the idea that if I was reading this catnip, I don't know what the heck it's called, these cat treats.
Yeah.
And it would say, you know, oh, these treats are so great, your cat will become addicted to them.
Right.
I would think it was like an advertising jerk-off. Like,
right.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
You'll become addicted to them. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
My cats are legitimately,
they
every 4 hours, like clockwork, they got to have their treats.
What about, and then all of a sudden, it's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And they're, you know.
It's like Oxy. You know, it's like now instead of taking 2 a day, you're taking 4.
Right.
Now you're taking 8. Now you're doing 16. And now you're doing fentanyl because that's the only thing you can get.
And now you're living in Virginia and ex-coal miner.
Yeah.
And on OxyContin.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, that's a road we don't want these cats to go down. Now, however, you know, what happens like if Greg goes on vacation?
Yeah.
Like they're known to do.
Yeah.
Do they have someone?
They are on vacation.
And
he has to have somebody come in the house every 4 hours.
He does.
To give the treats.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, here's a dealio. I wouldn't doubt that he does that. Because I know he's got a couple of, you know, babysitters or nannies that the kids used to know. And then they use them as fill-ins for cats and stuff
now
like
now
that.
They do the cats, right.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, they have to have every 4 hours. They've got to get their fix.
Yeah.
They're junkies.
They're junkie cats.
Now, I know that I have read, we've written a book on sleep. And I know that I've looked through sleep and how the benefits of sleep and how to get more sleep.
Can I get a plug in for the book?
I wish you would.
Sleep your way to the top of the morning.
Sleep your way to the top of the morning.
Sleep
exactly.
your way to the top of the morning.
Yeah, top of the morning to you. Never, never, never have they addressed animals as disrupting your sleep.
Right.
There are.
And And we didn't do that in the book.
We didn't. And that is a, you know, that's a big, I'll tell you right now, I bet more often than not, your environment, the people that you live with,
yeah,
quote unquote, your animals, because, you know, mom likes to call Elliot her son, the second son, or her grandkid, her grandkid.
I call him my son.
Your son, your little boy. Mm-hmm. And so forth. And so that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And oh my God, if we can have this product made for people and sell it on Amazon, mm-hmm. I think we could really...
We could clean the market.
We can clean this up.
Yeah.
You know, at this time... Yeah.
What would we call it? Addicted cats crack machine.
Yeah. No, like, go get your sleep. You know, like, oh, yeah. You know, this...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a sleep machine.
A sleep machine. I mean, for your... We have a list of sleep products.
Yeah.
And they're like, why is there a cat feeding machine here in sleep products? Because if you're a cat owner, number one reason why you don't sleep is because your cat needs its 4 a.m. fix.
Yeah.
Like, they do. They do. Mm. I just assumed that I was up. No, but they're the ones waking me up. We got to knock this crap off.
Hey,
so
you
it's
know,
important.
Well, you should... And also, too, like, why not get the treats by your bed?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
what if you're already training them to come knock you on your face?
Right.
Like, hey, this is really my house, not yours.
Right.
Get your ass up. Get me my treat. And then you have the treat machine right next to your bed.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what was this?
You just kind of do.
Like, oh, hit it.
Yeah.
Oh.
If they can use their paw to wake you up, they can use their paw to get their treat.
Yep. So we start training, and then the machine just is right outside the bedroom door then.
Yeah.
They never come in.
Yeah.
And then you get what you really want, which is like, the reason why I bought cats in the first place is so I don't have to deal with them.
Yeah.
You know? Speaking of cats, this is a... Okay, first off, this is not where I want to talk about today, but I'm going to talk about this now anyway. One is, I love Bravo's new line of stuff. Like, on the TV show, such as Carson and...
Oh, yeah.
Tom.
Get a room or...
Yeah, make a room or something like that. Yeah. But they either the
Tom... Tom... I don't think... Yeah, Tom and Carson.
Yeah.
Carson Kressley.
Yes. And their makeover rooms.
Yeah.
I just love Carson. I love Tom, too. They're both funny.
They're both old friends.
They're so darling in white skinny jeans. And I hate them for it.
Yeah.
I hate them for it.
Yeah.
But oh, well. Yeah. And because in my mind, I have a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I have a picture of Jackie O, you know, and she's wearing capris, white capris. And she's got a dark little sweater short sleeve on. And she's got her black glasses.
Yes,
and she's walking in New York looking all so cute and adorable.
Right.
And I'm sure those two have seen the same picture because they look so adorable in their skinny white jeans.
Well, and even like the gay guy that does your lottery dream home.
Oh, yes.
He rocks white skinny jeans, too. So what is it with gay guys that can rock the white skinny jeans?
Well, it's the reason why.
Because, like, Norm could rock those.
Yeah.
But it would be embarrassing.
He'd have no hips. Oh, right, because he'd have a muffin top.
Yeah.
He'd have a cake top. It's not really a muffin top.
No.
It's a cake top.
It's a wedding cake.
It's a quarter sheet cake. maybe a half sheet. Maybe a full-blown sheet cake.
Yeah.
Right there.
Norm has the legs for it, but he doesn't have the top for it.
He could be a skinny jean model.
Yeah.
If it was just let's
get him a pair of white skinny jeans.
Oh, he would look so adorable.
Oh, my God. And like some boot shoes.
Yes, he looks so adorable.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was interesting.
He could rock that look
on Bravo. They have Well, going back really quick though to the show, they were doing this one guy doing his makeover in his house. He lives in a studio apartment, so one room is his whole place, and he had about $5,000 to spend, and they were like, excuse me? I don't get out of bed for $5,000. You want to do this whole house? He goes, I figure $1,000 per square 100 feet.
They're
like,
that's so funny.
Okay. And they did a really great job, a studio apartment. But he just came out of the closet like 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then his studio apartment does not have a closet.
Yes, exactly. Because he's like, I am staying out.
I'm out of the closet. I do not want a closet in this room. I don't even want to chance it.
Yeah, I don't even want to chance it. But
I love it. Can I say a quick thing? Uh-huh. When you were telling me about this, when he said he came out of the closet at 31, you mentioned that Carson said that he told his parents, I think when he was like in his 30s or something, And because he was going to, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was coming out.
Right.
And he goes, I better tell my parents that I'm coming out, I'm gay. I'm gay before my show comes out,
yeah.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And he goes, I made that scary phone call. And my parents went, yeah.
I think said they weren't surprised.
They were not surprised.
And I'm sure in the background, they were probably saying, like, should we mention this? Should we bring this up? And at the moment,
no, don't mention
everybody
it.
Talks about, like, it's their journey. You should just let them come to you.
Yeah.
And at some point, you're going, but we know and we're cool. And he thinking, you know, yeah. Can't we just talk about it?
Yeah.
Can't we just say, like, hey, are you? I don't know. You know, it's like, but no, you can't talk about it. It's, yeah. You know, yada, yeah. Yada, yada.
That's so crazy.
Life is crazy.
It's just really crazy right now.
But the idea.
You got to walk on eggshells. In your white skinny jeans.
Yeah, well, then you could go.
And your little boot shoes.
Ah,
go, girl.
Bastards. So anyway, they're doing this guy's room, and I literally laughed out loud. Because first of all, they were all just making jokes right and left because they felt like, oh, two gay guys and him, he's gay, and they all came out. They're just talking like having a real life.
Three gay guys in a room talking
yes!
about life.
You're talking about life.
Yeah. And now that is a Netflix special.
That's a Netflix special. And I was just like, oh, these just feel like old friends, just
yeah.
having a good time.
Right.
And he had the really cute dog, and he's, you know, bouncing around. Mm-hmm. And they asked, what's your dog's name? And their dog's name, and I laughed out loud, because their dog's name, cute little dog, and it was one of those mix, which is probably a Cocker Spaniel mm-hmm. and a poodle.
Of course. Of course it is.
Because it doesn't shed.
No.
And it looks oddly weird. It looks like Fozzie Bear, but a little Fozzie Bear. Mm-hmm. And the name of the dog was Mariska Barkity.
No.
Mariska Barkity. Now, I laughed out loud because, oh, bravo.
Bravo.
Yeah, Mariska Barkity. but also, our dog is named Elliot Stabler.
Right.
Because you don't name a dog Mariska Barkity
unless you don't love Law and Order SVU. SVU.
You got to love yourself, Olivia.
Yeah.
I mean, Olivia Benson, I think Taylor Swift's dog is named Olivia Benson.
Yeah. Our dog is named Elliot Stabler.
You know why?
Yeah. You say.
Because now I am repeating what my father said to the
breeder.
To the breeder when mm-hmm. she asked what the dog name is.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had to go, because he's got papers. Mm-hmm. Our dog has legitimate, you know, real papers.
Yeah, if he only went on them.
Yeah, exactly. and his name, my dad goes, well, his name is Elliot Stabler. Elliot Stabler Peters. Like, okay. Oh, why'd you name him that? Well, because we like Special Victims Unit, Law and Order, and we named him after Elliot because he has a heart of gold, and he always gets his man. I'm like, Dad, please, Dad, stop talking. I go, but that's true. And I'm like, but the weird part is I had never said that. I had never said it so in sync. That's why we named Elliot that.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
Elliot Stabler has a heart of gold,
yeah.
and he always gets his man.
Yeah.
I had never said that.
And now you can say it
well,
out
yeah,
loud
but
and
he's
proud.
Came up with it so quickly. Did you yeah. Have you said that to Dad?
No.
So there are moments I think Dad is
a closeted gay guy?
No, not playing the full deck.
Oh.
Like or just not quick, not witty.
Right.
And then just off the cuff he comes
yeah.
up with
yeah.
you know, we named him Elliot Stabler because he's got a heart of gold and He always gets his man.
Like, you know, Dad does have a tendency to surprise us.
Yes, he does.
Because was it last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, I said to you, because we have a vision board, and we have
yeah.
lots of things on our vision board,
yeah.
some that may come true, some that not, but one of them is a camper.
Yeah.
And I said to Julie, I go, Julie, no, Dad goes, Julie, I want a camper.
Yes.
You know, and then, and what, did I say, well, where are you going to?
I go, okay, Julie, pull that out of your ass.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah. You said, yeah. You said, yeah, Julie, pull that out. So it's the three of us.
Yes.
We're having our planning steering meeting, just
yes.
talking about our vision board.
Yeah. And Dad goes, I want a camper.
And Julie, I'm looking at our vision board, and Julie, I really want this camper.
Yeah.
More than anything on the vision board,
right.
I want this camper.
Right.
And then you said,
yeah,
Julie, can you pull
better,
that out of your ass?
Pull that out of your ass.
And then Dad, not missing a beat. Oh, Julie, I'm sorry that I want the big one.
I want the bigger size camper.
I'm sorry, I want the bigger size camper. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
see, he does every once in a while.
Mofo, brilliant, bravo, bravo. Yeah, that's so wild. Yeah. I love it, I love it, I love it. So I was going to talk about something else. Oh, yes, we were talking about men being able to wear skinny white jeans and how jealous we are of them. Yeah. So there is, on Bravo, they have the new...
Project Runway?
Yes. And I saw... So my phrase right now is, of course.
We do. It's our whole family's phrase.
Yes, of course he did. Yeah. Or of course she did. Of course it is. Oh, of course.
Kylie Kardashian is like a triple billionaire. Of course she is.
Why wouldn't she be?
Of course she is.
Yeah. So anyway, I saw the first episode, and it's the first transgendered model that they're doing.
Right.
And... my first thought is, I'm like, of course she's a transgender, because to me, in my mind, transgendered women are the perfect models because they have the skinniest hips.
Yeah.
I mean, they are literally, they look like models.
Right.
She had the perfect.
Tall and skinny
right. And no hips.
Right.
I'm like, of course you're transgendered. And of course you can rock that outfit. And I bet you look good in skinny white jeans.
Yeah.
You bitch.
See, it's not skinny white jeans, Julie.
No, it's
white skinny jeans.
Oh, okay.
It's the white skinny jeans.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's kind of like skinny white jeans. No.
White skinny jeans. Because they're skinny jeans.
Yeah.
But they have to be the color white.
Right, yeah.
Because also, I mean, in my mind... you know, you can wear some white jeans. And now that I'm like getting older in age,
Yeah, Mom.
Exactly.
Now that you're getting older.
I love seeing people that are older than me rocking these skinny white jeans. Mm-hmm. It makes me like, well, maybe this is possible for me somewhere. Because in my mind, I have to reprogram my mind. Because in my mind, I can only wear black jeans.
I saw an older woman wearing skinny white jeans.
How'd it look?
But she was wearing big, thick white tennis shoes with them.
Oh, my
like
God.
The kind that just like the Velcro over.
Yeah.
It didn't really rock that well.
Of course not.
No.
You can't do that. This is the other thing that I learned.
See, you know, it's like the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Well, here is a deal. Now you're net neutral. You have to finish the lookout.
Yeah.
If you're going to rock the white skinny jeans.
Right.
You have to follow the look to the footwear. Now, if you go, well, you know what? I don't know if I can if I'm having to wear therapeutic shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rocking those. I'm not bedazzling the shoes.
No, I would not call attention to them.
Yeah, you can. Then you have to wear a little bit more flowing pants that look great, but they do not, you know, because the 100%. Skinny pants, you stop at the shoe and then you're like, nice shoe, girl.
Yeah.
Everything has to go.
It has to go.
Everything has to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be done.
You just have to go, ah, damn. That's the reaction, not like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah,
like, you're going all the way down then, ooh.
And you've taught me that. And that's why I don't even start with the look. I don't even start. You know, I will, but I do have the girl on my vision board, like, that will be me someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
I've noticed that everybody's rocking my vision board look.
Yes, I know.
Except for me.
Except for you.
Yeah.
Well, this morning you woke up just fit to be tied. Just fit.
Angry.
Yeah, angry, basically.
Yeah.
And it was, and I don't know why, except that you're not aware of this, and you kind of are in retrospect. You know that when you get angry enough, things in your life manifest.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I cannot stand one more Mark Wahlberg comedy.
Right. And you woke up angry.
Yeah. I'm like, if that fucker can do that.
Yeah.
Instant family.
Yeah.
What? When we went to the family video store yesterday, she said, we said, give us a good comedy. And she went, oh, Instant Family. And then I could tell that she was like, should I have, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
And then as we're paying our money and leaving, she goes, oh, if you don't like it, just bring it back tomorrow and I'll give you another,
aww,
I'll give you another
thing. That was kind of sweet.
She had second thoughts.
Yeah, she's like,
I'm making a recommendation of Instant Family as a comedy.
Yeah.
It's their one night of the week
yeah.
that they're going to be watching, you know, paying money to rent a movie.
Yeah.
And then
I think
Instant Family.
I'll tell you what do you think though overall? If they didn't call it a comedy, what would you have given the score? Let's say they called it the new comedy, because I think the one thing Netflix did to for people and our family, they ruined comedy for our
Hell
family.
Yeah.
Because when you want to go buy a movie
yeah.
and it's a comedy.
Considered a comedy.
You want to be pissing in your pants.
Right.
Because you're laughing so
right.
hard. Because you can go to Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And you can watch a comedy special.
Oh, yeah.
And you can laugh for an hour.
And you can pee.
And you can pee
oh,
at
yeah.
home.
Yeah. You'll have to wash your pants, your white skinny jeans afterwards.
Yeah. No longer white, they're yellow.
Yeah.
But so when you go see a movie mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're really expecting a funny story.
Yeah.
But that's not how comedies work.
Julie, you and I both know. We've done now. How many movies have we done?
Two.
Four.
Four.
If you count the Christmas movies.
Oh, four. Yeah. Yes.
Now, we're not novices anymore.
No.
Now, we can come up with some kind of better premise
right.
than this.
Right.
I said to Norm, this could have been a cute 8-minute movie, which
yeah.
is the kind of movies we do.
Right.
We like to do 8-minute movies.
Yeah.
You can say everything you need to say mm-hmm. in 8 minutes. What's the point?
Yeah.
This was 90 minutes.
Bravo for letting it be only 90 minutes long.
Yeah, that was true. But if there was a number from 1 to 10,
yeah.
and that number happened to be called sappy,
mm-hmm.
a sappy comedy.
A sappy quotient.
Yeah, there's a sappy quotient.
Okay, from 1 to 10, a sappy yeah. quotient.
And not only did Netflix ruin comedy for us,
yeah.
but the PC police ruined comedy for us.
Yeah.
Because now everything has to be, you know, oh, isn't that sweet? It has to be cute.
Right.
I mean, we can't dare. We were watching a comedy this week, and he Jimmy Carr, he mm-hmm. prefaces it by saying, you know, now because of the PC police, we can't just tell stories. We have to make the stories say this is about our life.
Right.
So like when I'm telling a joke about a pedophile, I have to say me and two other pedophiles are walking down the street. Because it has to be something relatable to our lives.
Yes.
And then it's okay to make comedy.
Yes.
But we can't just go, hey, you know. And that's exactly true. So now to watch a comedy and it's like, so, oh no, there are going to be foster parents. Oh no, it looks so great in the beginning. Oh no, there's some problems. Oh,
oh
no,
no,
it turns out great at the end.
Oh yay.
Oh,
here's the formula. You know, was there a festival of sacred cows at the end or no?
Oh yeah, okay. But it was not a festival. It was more like a, you know, like
party.
Yeah, it was a party.
Was it a Cinco? All right, yeah. Quinceanera, where you go?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it?
The kids were Latin.
Was it a quinceanera?
So it was a kids. I would call it that.
I don't know if I'm saying it right, but yeah.
Quinceanera.
Yeah, the 15th birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the 16th?
No, it's 15th.
It's 15th,
I think.
But either that or 16, what's huh? the one where they punch that thing in the air and the candy explodes
yes.
out of it?
Yes. No, that's for any party.
Oh.
But that's a...
What's that called?
What is that called? I would have known this.
Yeah.
In
the old days, we would have known what that was.
No, I mean...
It's more like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What is that called?
It's more like, yeah, the kids have a stick and they're hitting a
yeah.
animal full of candy.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they hit Mark Wahlberg's...
Oh, no. Not that joke.
Nuts. No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
It's comparable to that.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the level of what people call comedy now.
Well,
it's like at the Hallmark level. Sorry.
Well,
about
this voice. What's the guy's name? The comedy guy, Carr.
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr. Okay, I'll talk about that because first off, you and Dad said to me, "Hey, why don't you and Doug on Saturday night watch Jimmy Carr?
Yeah,
because it is funny yeah. on Netflix." I'm like, "Sure, that'd be great," but he has to come over to our house then because Doug doesn't have the capability to watch on TV. We have to watch on his computer, which I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So we came upstairs and watched it in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen a little bit because I was so excited because you guys were just saying, oh my gosh, Julie, he's so funny. And he has a second, an older one on Netflix.
Yeah.
You've got to watch it.
Yeah.
So I watched his older one first before I saw.
Right.
And I'm glad I did.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Oh, because what he is just repetitive. It's like he's telling you a sentence that's a normal life.
Yeah.
And then he twinks it a little bit, twerks it a little bit. And then here's the punchline.
Right.
Over and over and over again.
I mean, we're
again.
Our comedians. He's British. But our comedians tell stories.
And sometimes they're five-minute-long stories.
And to get to the thing, right?
Yes.
But in the midst, it's all funny. This guy just tells jokes for solid 60 minutes. It's joke after joke after joke. And at some point, you can't catch your breath.
No. And you're going, you don't want to
laugh out loud because you'll miss the next joke.
Right. There you go. Just a little bit. Yeah, exactly. You have to just, and you're just always connecting with it, and so forth. And you're just going, this is really awesome. And because of the PC police, I try really hard not to be offended at everything he was saying.
Right.
Because there were certain things that I always just thought this was funny. And then
get your sacred cow.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that true?
This is where my things got up.
Oh, Dad said the same thing. You know, we're laughing at the pedophile jokes. We're laughing at this, you know. And then he goes, you know, when I was a young kid, I used to have an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And my imaginary friend would grant me wishes and all that stuff. And then I stopped going to church.
Yeah. Exactly. And you're what?
And then everybody goes, what? He goes,
what?
Everything. Oh, the pedophile jokes are fine. But,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly. And there are a couple jokes, like he was talking about being, he goes, does anybody, you know, in a relationship, like I've been dating my girl now for 18 years. And I'm like, and I go, hey, that's me. I've been dating Doug for like 20. I'm like, what's he going to say about us? Oh my God. And I'm just like, don't get yourself worked up. He's gonna hit you in a spot that's gonna be uncomfortable, but it's gonna be funny. And and he goes, yeah, I mean, I'll go to a party and they're like, hey, where's the ring? Are you gonna give? And he'll be doing his hand thing, you know, and
holding the finger up.
Like, yeah, why doesn't she have a ring yet? You know, and then but they won't say the word ring. And then I go, oh, you want me to? And he'll do a sexual joke. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. And it is funny, but it's also embarrassing. I'm sitting next to my guy, and we're just like, I'm a little uncomfortable.
when he said the joke about, you know, and then I quit going to church.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, you know, church, he goes, it's all that, you know, get standing up.
Oh my
up,
God.
And then he's going
Catholic.
Down.
He's, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, getting on your knees. And I just told the priest, let's just have sex and get it over with.
Now, Doug, I found that kind of, it was like another thing that kind of struck me. Like,
right.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It was funny, but it struck me.
Right.
And Doug, at that joke, laughed out loud. Because, you know, he hates Catholics.
Yes, exactly.
He just hates it. And then you realize, like, nothing was off the plate.
It's all sacred cows,
and,
baby.
And then it's like this wave, like, oh, 10% of people, this is like accounted for. And then they get their skin, you know, their skin, like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
And then they go back down.
100%.
And then another 10%, somebody else. And it's just this wave of people. Mm-hmm. And yet when you, I believe you're not going to see him because you don't know this is what, if you don't know this is his comedy, you're going to be in for a shocker, you know, but this is his comedy.
Right. And he said, like, oh, there was this nurse and she found this rectal thermometer in her pocket.
Yeah.
And she went and she pulled it out and said, oh, some asshole has my pen.
That was hysterical. That's great.
We're sitting
like
here enjoying
this.
That.
Yeah.
But no, there's no enjoyment. It's on to another. It's like a machine gun.
Yeah. He must tell 100 jokes easily.
Oh, honey, easily.
And I mean, give this guy his props because as soon as it was, I mean, he's just wonderful.
Yeah.
He is just wonderful.
And I had never heard of him before.
No, me either.
Yeah.
And what did I tell you? Look like my Dumba Dumber Cumberbatch, dude.
Yeah.
Cumberbatch Dumber Dingle.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I have
Benedict
the syllables
Cumberbatch.
Right. That's it. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I have the syllables. and the rhythm of his name.
Yeah, but you had a doodle to the end of it, because at this point, everybody's been everybody. Partially, yeah. Partial, a partial poodle.
Yes.
Everything and everybody is now a partial poodle in life.
Benedict you're right.
Cumberbatch poodle.
Yeah.
Julie Peter oodles.
Exactly. Well, it's brilliant because, what's his name again?
Carr? Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, Carr.
Oh, Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr. Is actually a mixture between Benedict Cumberbatch
and a poodle.
And a poodle. Because like moms like to say, because those poodles will F everybody. I can't say the word F anymore. It's crazy.
You can say F.
Yeah.
Those poodles will F anything.
They'll F anything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to clean up my language.
We're cleaning it up.
So I don't know
now
why.
We're just saying F.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what that means.
No, exactly. Exactly. And if you do, shame on you. That's more your problem than mine, if you know what I'm talking about. That tells more about your story than my story. Shame on you.
So, Julie, after watching Instant Family, though, last night, I'm really wanting to be a foster parent.
What about being a foster grandparent? I think we might have a chance at that.
I could be
than...
that, yeah. I'd have to go to the courses.
Yeah. Because one thing I like about, because I looked into this, believe it or not, because on my vision board, it's funny.
You've got me being a foster grandparent.
No, there we had noticed that what's missing from our vision board is, because our vision board's about our circles of life, you know, the... That's
really?
Not the way I want to say it. You know how like you have the pillars of your life?
Yeah.
And if you take those pillars and you make them into a circle, does it roll right?
Right.
But if you have some parts of your pillars that are shorter than others, mm-hmm. you kind of got to make them all the even.
Mm-hmm.
Either you got to make them all shitty so it rolls
which
better.
Most people do. Which yeah. most of us do.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, or you got to make them all the height, you know? But anyway,
you're saying that there's a wheel of life and each spoke has
yes,
to be
the same.
Or
try to.
Yeah.
Or if one's shorter, that's the one you got to focus on.
The other wheel gets a bumpy ride.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you're trying to
that's
say.
That's what I'm trying. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. And Coach Mother.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And what we noticed was I don't have my spiritual side and my society side on my vision board.
Mm-hmm.
And so I printed out pictures of what I want to put on there.
Good.
But I yet put them on the board.
I know you. I've been saying that for 2 weeks now.
I know you have.
When are we going to get those on our vision board?
You got to say this. Julie, do it now. Not when.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it now. We got time.
Mm-hmm.
Once before lunch. I'm like, oh, yeah, I should do it now. I should do it now. Brilliant. That's good, Mom. Good. I'll do it.
And oh, have you put that picture of Rosie O'Donnell up there?
Yeah, because you said you liked her hair.
Yeah.
And, that's why you're going to put Rosie O'Donnell on
my vision board. I'm going to be a great big vegetarian.
A bipolar. I was going to. That's your line. My line was you're going to be a bipolar comedian with great looking hair. That's what you wanted to be.
Oh, okay.
But maybe you wanted to be
a vegetarian
with great looking hair. She really covers. She is all encompassing. She is your doppelganger.
She is my doppelganger. Us. She's us.
Exactly. But
did you get that reference?
Yeah.
Us?
Yes.
Okay.
The movie, Us.
Yes. Sorry. You didn't look like you did.
Oh, I thought it was good.
But it wasn't great.
No, I believe the people who are listening to our podcast will go, ooh.
Good reference.
Good reference. Good. Or will they go, Us? What is that
then,
about?
Then they have to think about it. See, then I'm on the really on the cusp of becoming Dennis Miller then.
Right.
With that reference.
Right.
But not necessarily, because if I say it,
then you've explained it.
Then that's not Dennis Miller.
Well, no.
No, Dennis Miller will go, I pee on you people if you can't figure out how brilliant I am.
Dennis Miller would say, take notes and Google it later.
Yeah.
And then you'll just know how.
How brilliant I was.
How brilliant I was and all the references I made. speaking of that, I will have to talk about philosophy later, because that's what I had. I felt like I had to. I actually took notes to talk about this in the podcast.
Do it.
But I want to go back to our vision board.
Oh, sure.
Because we've been... really focusing on affirmations. We have our spiritual time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, we're just so two peas in a pod. We do our spiritual stuff together in the morning where we say our affirmations.
Wake up, Mom. Wake up. You got to do spiritual stuff. I don't want to do spiritual stuff. No, you got to do spiritual stuff.
I don't want to do spiritual stuff.
All right.
I'll do the spiritual stuff. Okay, so we've been reading this prayer that kind of came into our life, because I literally had this prayer typed out and framed in my bedroom when I was growing up. and it's just for the day prayer.
Oh, right.
No, I mean, I literally had this prayer hanging in my room.
Really?
Yes. And it's funny. I had forgotten I had this prayer in my room, mm-hmm. but one of the things I live my life by, and I think it's because I have said this prayer many times over, mm-hmm. and it's the Just for a Day prayer.
Right.
And one of the things in the prayer, it says, just for a day, I will not let anybody know my feelings are hurt.
Right.
They may have
they
been
may
hurt,
be hurt, but
I will not let anybody
right.
know.
That's right.
And I live my life by that. I don't know why, because you say as an adult woman, you don't tell anybody that your feelings are hurt and people should know that you're upset with them and you should tell Doug what pisses you off. I'm like, I have programmed myself since I was 14 years old and I was on this spiritual journey not to let anybody know my feelings are hurt. How as an adult woman, how am I supposed to like say, my feelings are hurt, my feelings are hurt, you hurt my feelings. Because deep down, I believe that I am control of my feelings.
Right, you do.
You can say something.
You do.
But if my feelings are hurt, that's me. That's my story, not your story.
Right.
You could be a total ass.
Right.
That's your story. Me having my feelings hurt, that's my story.
Right.
But in this prayer that I don't remember growing up, it's mm-hmm. amazing what you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I also in the prayer, it talks about just for a day, I will make up my mind to be happy.
Right.
And to believe.
Because most folks are as happy, like Abraham Lincoln
yes.
said, most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be.
Now, that's another one of my mottos.
Yeah.
I did not know that it came from this prayer.
Yeah.
But I do. I've always believed that mm-hmm. you are as happy as you can, as you make up your mind to
yeah.
be.
And you are a very happy child.
Yes. I try to be. Because I'm like, I believe yeah. that I have the ability to make myself
yeah.
to maneuver my thoughts
okay.
in a way to think better thoughts mm-hmm. and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's one other part in this prayer that has, we've been reading it now, and it has messed me up because mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Which one is it?
And it's like, just for a day, I will exercise my soul in three ways.
Right.
One is I will do a good deed for someone
oh, yes.
and not be found out.
Yes.
And if I'm found out, it will
doesn't
not count.
Right.
And I'm just like, I can't.
You can't do enough good deeds.
No, I just don't know and not be found out.
Right.
I live my life pretty decently.
Yeah.
What good deeds? I try and put a, you know, when I go to Aldi, I leave my quarter in the cart.
Yeah.
You know, for the next person, mm-hmm. that's a good deed.
That's a
but
good
I'm telling
deed.
You right now.
You just told.
Oh, but not just that. I go there and there are quarters in the car already.
Yeah.
So we're now, so either
yeah.
I started the trend.
Yeah.
So like I can't even do that anymore because just, all the carts have quarters
it's
in
just
them.
Like Starbucks lines. I mean, now you just can't even ever pay for a Starbucks anymore.
Right, because the guy in front of you paid for, yeah. you know.
You got to pay for the guy in back.
Yeah. So and, we're now all just paying.
For everybody's
and,
Starbucks.
Yes, exactly. And damn it, next time I'm going to get the whole Fiesta.
Yeah, I'm going to get the bigger venti.
Yeah, exactly.
Two
yeah.
ventis.
So we're all paying for each other's tolls. We're all paying for, well, not anymore because no one pays for tolls. You just go through them.
And yeah. But gotta, when we used to,
when
though.
We used to.
Yeah.
So I literally, every morning going,
please,
God,
dear
grant
God.
Me the opportunity to just do a good turn without being found out.
Yeah.
You know, and.
You cannot find them
I
anymore.
I can't find them. I mean, I'm always kind to you.
Yeah.
I'm kind to people around me, but that's not really a good deed.
I consider it.
Yeah, I could be a total
because I you're mine.
But see, you know that I'm kind.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
You know, like if I do something good to you, like I gave you a neck massage this
yes,
week.
Yes, you did. Oh, it's so
well,
wonderful.
You knew about it. You weren't unconscious. I didn't roofie you first, and then oh, mom's out. Good. Now I can give her a neck massage, and when she wakes up from her sleep from her slumber, she'll go, God, my neck feels great. No, I did. It was you and I together,
mm-hmm.
and I said, hey, I'm going to give you a neck massage.
Yeah.
By the way, people, I have been trained. Literally, I have a certificate in massage therapy.
Thank
so
you.
It's not just like some schmuck here. I'll no. give my mom a massage.
No, you no. went to naked massage school.
I went to naked massage school. That was what's
in
the
California.
Brochure. And
no, it said clothing optional.
Which really pissed me off. because I did not know at the tender age of 28 or 29 that that meant when clothing optional is stated, that really means no one's wearing clothes. Yeah. I thought it really meant, well, of course I'm going to opt to wear clothes.
Of course it's optional.
I'm going to opt to wear clothes. I'm not going to opt not to wear clothes. And I go, whoa, if I wear clothes, I will be the only person wearing clothes.
Yeah. And your teacher didn't wear clothes.
No one wore clothes.
Nobody wore clothes.
I mean, we wore clothes a lot, but we also didn't wear clothes a lot.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just don't care.
Yeah.
You can't. But also, I was very happy that I was not in my period, because I'm going, that would have been just too much for me to handle.
Or as Jimmy Carr calls it, Shark Week.
Yeah. Exactly. Shark Week.
Shark Week.
Yeah. And usually my Shark Week lasts about 5 to 14 days. So somewhere in there. Easy. Short one or a long one, depending on where I'm at, you know, and so forth. So, yeah. So I was grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. But no, honey, you're right, though. It is getting more and more difficult to do good deeds out there and not get found out, because everybody's like doing the good deeds.
I had
the easy
one.
Ones.
Yeah, I had one, but
I mean, we tried to give food to the food pantry, and we go, oh, no,
I'm be leaving shortly. Well, no worries,
don't worries. You know,
we got plenty.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to give to Goodwill. They're like, oh man,
you're here again.
Everybody's like, everybody's
calling Marie Kondo. Everybody, I've got so much crap now.
Yeah, we can't even. There's no way we can take your stuff.
Yeah,
you're like, what? What's a girl to do?
Yeah, exactly. What is a girl to do? So I'm going to tell you this good deed, even though I have not started it yet, but it wouldn't. And the reason why I'm telling you, because you would not be the beneficiary of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do it.
Good.
And that is, we live out in the country, in a subdivision in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at our windows, you don't see any homes except for there's one window. You can see one home.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of space.
Right.
And we have a ton of deer.
Right.
And we have a ton of turkeys. And
badgers.
We have a lot of animals.
Yeah.
So there's just this unwritten rule that when your dog poops while walking, you don't have to pick it up necessarily, because first of all,
that's the unwritten rule.
Yes, in my unwritten rule.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I'm not picking up deer poop.
Yeah,
I'm not picking up my dog.
You're picking
poop.
Your dog poop right next to a big pile of deer poop.
Yeah, because there's a lot of space in between the next home.
Right,
my dog is not crapping in your yard.
Right,
it's crapping in your neighbor's yard. There's no house built there yet.
Right, right.
But it's crapping next to the deer
geese poop, deer poop.
Yeah, so I feel like, so I'm thinking maybe I should start picking up Elliot's poop and other dogs' poop.
Aww.
Is that a good use of my time?
No. No.
No.
But it's sweet.
Isn't it? Would it
oh
go?
My God. I can just see there's going to be a picture of you picking up poop in our next newsletter, next subdivision newsletter.
And then I will have been found out.
Then it will count.
And then I will like, screw this.
Yeah, so now you found me out. Now I can't count.
Yes, I can't be found out. Mm-hmm. Now, I do notice that there is some trash in our neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And
from the wind?
From the wind.
Yeah.
I could go over there and
get
that.
You could pick that up. That would be
helpful. But the only person that would help would be me, because no one lives there.
Right.
And it's a wooded lot. But I'm like, I could go
then
over
we
there.
Could, because we're tired of looking at
I'm
it.
I'm tired of looking at it.
Yeah.
But then if I do it, the only person that helps is me.
Yeah.
And I would know that I did it. Does that count? So how do I do a good deed daily?
Yeah.
Daily.
Is it three? Is it just one or three? I can't remember.
One thing daily. And then the next thing is to do two things that you don't want to do.
Oh, right.
But you'll do them anyway.
Yeah.
And then, and that could be
sex.
Yes. Like, that's what I did last night for Doug.
Do it anyway.
Yeah. It made him happy. Yeah. Right. Even though we were right above mom and dad, that's where my bedroom's at. But I asked you this morning if you heard us, and you said no. And I'm like, good. There's your good deed for the day. You didn't hear me.
You gave me those earmuffs.
Exactly. I roofied your pizza. That's why you didn't hear it.
But what's that one joke Jimmy Carr tells? Like, I had to have the sex talk with my son. You know, and like about being very gentle and being very sweet with the woman, and then wake her up.
And see,
And then he goes, and then have some kind of mouthwash or something for that taste in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, no. Oh, he goes, oh, yeah, because he said.
What was it?
He goes, oh, you know, there's nothing worse than your girlfriend waking up. And, you know, and then
and then
in the middle of sex and you're feeling like, oh, sorry, honey. I go, and here's some mouthwash for you.
Get rid of that taste in your mouth.
Yeah. And it was just continually like that.
Yeah. But you can't laugh because you'll miss the next joke.
Yeah. And of course, like I said, there were other jokes in there that I felt twinged. Like, what? This is cutting a little too deep.
Right.
But damn it, Julie, you better laugh because
if you laughed at this one, you should laugh.
And
at
see, there. Here's a dealio. I don't know why I find. I don't want to say it because I don't want to get like
the Christian humor.
No, I get a little like, oh, you're laughing at my God, like what? But I understand it. I can get it. But I don't know why I have always thought pedophile jokes were funny.
Yeah.
And I there's no reason because we certainly in real life, I have been confronted with that situation. And so it's not like, oh, you know,
right.
I've never been touched by that situation in real life.
Right.
But I do find that funny. Yeah. I think because like the Louis C.K. joke.
I know.
When he said, man, like, you're going to get in so much trouble. Now, Louis C.K. is a bad guy, right? Because of his
He's a bad guy because he came in a hotel room and girls watched him.
Yes, that's it.
Isn't that what it was?
I think. Well, I didn't know this was possible, but I guess he had the. I don't know, but something about he would self pleasure himself. He would pleasure himself in front of women, and they were like surprised by it, something like that.
And now he has no career.
He had to take a break. He's taking a break.
It's just a break.
Yeah.
It's just a break.
But, I think his behavior is worthy of making fun of.
Yeah.
Because you're going, I don't get it. This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous.
Right.
And everybody's
being, like, that's a joke, right?
That's a joke, right? Like, no,
that's
real. And women who had this happen to him felt really bad. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I might have felt bad for a second.
Yeah.
And then I would go, this is incredibly funny.
Yeah.
I need to laugh at this. And I need to tell it over and over again.
Well, I think here's what's interesting, too, is like, you know, for girls that grew up in the 50s, in the 60s.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, and then what?
Right, because you guys were not protected from people being horrible.
Right.
You have seen so much horrible stuff.
Right.
And daily, when you grew up.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is nothing.
Okay.
I go,
you walked out of the hotel room, right?
No.
No.
We lodged a complaint. Oh, we lodged a complaint. Yeah. Then we tried
to make him lose his job.
Yeah.
Oh, and take away his career. I get it.
Oh, I get it. Oh, that's what we could have done?
Yeah.
In our day,
we used to like try to marry him.
Yeah.
And then divorce.
That was our goal. Yeah. But so I think that's the thing. I think we're getting so much better now. I think. We're getting smarter. I don't know.
I don't know either, Jules.
But I
just remember like that. What was that very, very, very first movie? Goldie Hawn's daughter. What's her name?
Yeah.
Do you know? Then she
Hudson. Kate Hudson.
Yeah, Kate Hudson. That very first movie that she did years and years ago.
Yeah, where she's a roadie.
And
not a roadie, but
she's
a
like
junkie.
A groupie.
A groupie. That's a groupie. The right word.
Yeah.
Groupie.
And that was the very first movie, like if, you know, we had groupies in our days.
Right.
But you wouldn't try to get pregnant.
No. There's one line in there at the end, and she's being, you know, talking to this one reporter, you know, who's a young kid for the Rolling Stones. And she's like, oh, my God. She goes, you know, things are changing so quickly. I go, we love the music. We're groupies because we love the music. We love the guys. We want to be part of the creation process. These new girls, they just want to get pregnant. They want to get knocked up and be taken care of.
Yeah.
I go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, this is how it transitioned at that time.
At that moment.
Yeah. And
that's exactly how that happened in sports.
Yeah.
You know, like in my day, you're like, oh, no, my God, you having somebody's baby? You know, like, oh, my God, that's like so wrong. And now it's like, girl, go.
Well, I also know because I've always lived with my family, or work with my family, I never saw the craziness of some guys.
Right.
I've never, so that's why I find that behavior funny, because I'm like, that's not true. And if it is true, you saying something funny about it doesn't get you in trouble, right?
Right.
Oh, no, if you said something about it, you get in trouble, you lose your job. Right. But now ties are turning. If you do something bad, we're going to get your job fired.
Right. Like, well, you know. But see, we're talking about our lives, so we're still okay of the PC police.
100%. Yeah. And I think moving away, since I only have 5 minutes left.
No, we're still going to talk about Louis C.K. and all that stuff. What were you talking about?
Oh, no, about, how, like, I don't know why at this moment, I still find pedophile jokes funny.
Right, okay.
Oh, and first off, I'll tell you why. Dan Savage helped me with this.
Right.
I thought a pedophile meant that you acted out.
Mm-hmm.
No. It just means that you can be a pedophile without being a molester.
It's just the kink gene.
You just have the kink or the proclivity.
Yeah, good girl. Good girl.
Lyme disease brain, something that
good
work.
Proclivity.
Yeah. To a propensity.
You have a proclivity to a propensity to be a pedophile.
So I'm like, oh, I get it. Because I just find the idea that there are people out there willing to risk everything for abusing a child, so amazingly crazy that this sounds funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard of.
Like, Jimmy Carr goes, like, you know, don't you just hate those backseat drivers? I mean, they're always like, oh, you're going to take me to the woods? I don't want to go to the woods. Please don't take me.
I thought that was funny.
That was a good one.
You know why? Because it came out of left field.
Right.
You know?
Right. Our Jimmy goes, yeah, I'm thinking about having some children. He goes, me and my girlfriend, we're thinking about having some children. We got the beginnings of it. I bought some puppies and an old van.
Come on. That's great. That was funny.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. And we can talk about that and laugh at it because while we were growing up, you used to pretend to be in a van and try to get us to come inside the van.
All sorts of different scenarios.
Yeah, so that we would strengthen our anti-pedophile, you know,
gaydar,
muscle.
Not gaydar.
No.
Pedophile dog.
No, more like just get like, hey, yeah, radar. Like just for like, oh, he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And at this moment, he's just a pedophile.
Right.
No criminal action has been taken.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the other part of that criminal action. So, you know, we're going to train you kids to, when you identify it, know what to do.
Yeah.
Run fast. You know, run. So, yes. But I don't know why. I mean, so I apologize if it's not funny to some people.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I'm bad.
No.
There are things that you find funny that I would find completely offensive. But you know what?
We're allowed to laugh anyway.
You're allowed to laugh anyway.
Well, what do you think about, you're talking about real quickly. I know that you were going to pick up all the poop in our subdivision and be that girl.
Yeah.
But speaking of poop, you know, I heard that now they have discovered that diarrhea is inherited. It's inherited. No, it's inherited.
Oh yeah.
And they say because diarrhea it runs in the genes.
Good. You know, I was reading. That was brilliant. That
Thank
was
you.
So smart.
Thank you.
You know,
I can't.
What
say
did the
it's
buffalo
mine.
Say to his kid when he was going off to school?
The father buffalo.
The
what
father
did the
buffalo.
Father buffalo say to his son when he went off to college?
Yeah.
Bye, son.
Bye, son.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. That was hysterical, mother. I was gonna say something. You were talking about. The other thing Jimmy Carr hit. Okay, everybody knows I've been struggling with my weight, you know, and I did a course on stress and weight. I mean, like, this is my dealio. I work with this and, you know, and so forth. But he did have jokes about having sex with chunky women. And I had to like sit there and like just go, this take is funny. It. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it. He goes, and he would come around to his own point of view. I said, like, listen, I do it all the time, you know. He goes, and you know you're having sex with a chunky woman when you're having sex and you're like, oh, is that her arm? You know, or you know, like, you know, or I don't know.
Is that the boob or the arm?
Yeah, the boob or the arm. And I'm just like, oh my God, you know, whatever. So I realized somebody else could be going, that is totally offensive. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't laugh at that. That's a struggle for people. Mm-hmm. You know, obesity's on the rise in America. Where's more people offended by this? Mm-hmm. But I go, but you know what? Comedy is meant to
push the boundaries.
Push buttons.
Make us open our minds.
Yes. And have,
I see jokes, people.
And laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Life is truly hard.
Yeah.
And it's painful. And every day, like the prayer says, you know,
you take a spoonful of shit and eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what the prayer says. What does the prayer say, Joel?
Part of the prayer says, to just for a day, I'll decide to be happy. Just for a day.
This is supposed to be true. What Abraham Lincoln said, exactly. Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be.
So I ask you.
I see jokes, people.
How happy are you willing to be today in the midst of crap everywhere? The show's almost over, people, but I have to tell you two stories because they're not going to be good next week.
Okay.
So real quick, I was found a new podcast that I started listening to called Philosophize It or Philosophize This. And remember when I came to you with the scenario, I said, Mom, is electricity created or invented?
Yeah.
And you said, good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Let me ponder it. You didn't come up with the answer yet, but mm-mm. Yeah, I'll let
still
you ponder.
Pondering, yeah.
And you know how things work together for me? Like, oh my God, I hit some information here coming through. Like, mm-hmm. Great. So listening to this guy talk about philosophy, and he said, hey, kid, goes, this one guy who wrote a book in 1991 about philosophy, like, what is philosophy? And he says, if you're writing a book about philosophy in 1991 and defining it, you better add something new to the table. But what the idea was philosophy created or discovered? Like, are you discovering the philosophy or are you creating the philosophy? Mm. I thought that is so wild to think about in that terms.
Yeah.
Because, and so the idea that maybe what you're doing is you're creating philosophy to figure out, to figure out the chaos and give it order in this world.
Yes.
And we, like Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules from Chaos to Order, right?
Right.
But it's the idea that here's our society right now, and here's what I believe. I'm creating this philosophy to define and figure out and how to create order with this craziness, right?
Right.
And then I'm doing this, and I'm thinking all this philosophical thoughts, and really must listen to 2 hours of philosophy on the road.
Oh, boy.
Now, but the crazy thing is, two instances happen. I mean, I used to be the three-thing girl.
Yeah, now you're just the two-finger girl.
Two-finger girl. That's all I need, two fingers. And twice, pulled over my semi, I noticed under my trailer, there is the biggest pile of poo. And I can't figure out if a dog crapped in one of the truck lanes.
Yeah.
Or if a guy
just
couldn't make it to the bathroom, got out of his truck and going, you know.
Underneath the bed.
No one
can
see me underneath my trailer taking a crap.
Right.
Either or was wild.
Yeah.
Next rest area, 10 hours later, I'm getting out of my semi. And there's literally a trail of poop.
Julie?
Heading to the bathroom outside. I'm like, well, this is, I go, where, since I've been engaged in my philosophical mind.
Yes.
What does this mean?
Yes.
You know, double poop sightings.
Yes.
You know, in odd places. What does this mean? And so trying to create a philosophical
theory,
idea,
yeah,
to take this chaos and make it and organize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, life is full of poop. Just don't step in it. Like, there it is.
Wow.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Mind blown.
How was the show?
Life is full of poop. Just don't step in it.
Yeah.
How was the show? It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.